We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
It is the trump card. If there are a handful of verses that people out in the culture, say the pagans in the culture, know or think they know and understand, this is one of them. Jesus most certainly said it, didn't he? Judge not, lest you be judged. And that's the trump card in a lot of the culture in the world against Christians. You can't be judging anyone, much less calling anything a sin, because Jesus himself told you you're not supposed to judge anything, anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. Is that what Jesus meant there in Matthew chapter 7 when he utters those famous words? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for part 54 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Scherb. We've been walking through Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount. We've come to Matthew chapter 7 and those famous words. Dr. Ken Scherb is a regular guest pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University and formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Wow, we are finally breaking into the third and final chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. How about that?
And here's how it opens the first five verses we'll deal with today of Matthew 7. Judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. That's the text for today. This is kind of the trump card of the culture that they throw up in Christians' face. Didn't Jesus say, judge not lest you be judged? How does Luther deal with these words of Christ?
Well, Luther is concerned here to clarify just what the problematic kind of judging is. Now, there's no question about it. Jesus is definitely speaking in no uncertain terms about judging and how it's bad, but what precisely is he talking about? Let me just back up a little bit, though, to tell you how Luther takes a run up to this, Todd. He says, with this new section, beginning at chapter 7, verse 1, Christ is taking up what Luther calls another great and dangerous vice, namely self-centered wisdom. That's the kind of thing that will provoke people to being hypercritical of others and judging others. Now, in the previous section, as we've been talking about for some time now, Christ was talking about greed, basically from the middle of chapter 6 on to the end. And greed is bad enough. It produces, Luther says, either silence in the preachers or contempt and inattention for the gospel in the hearers. But if you add self-centered wisdom to greed, you get a worse situation, because now everybody strives to be his own best preacher and his own best master and listens to nobody else. And in those kind of conditions, what everybody does in their own eyes is wonderful. But whatever other people do, Luther says, has to stink. Now that sets us up to go into chapter 7 and verse 1, where Jesus says, judge not. And in explaining this, Luther goes back to the kinds of things he has already said. He points out that here in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ is preaching specifically to his disciples. He's not talking about the judgment that goes on in the world. So, for example, Christ is not telling some sort of a civil judge in our day or in his, no, judge, you dare not hand down that sentence, because after all, Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, do not judge. Luther's not going to say that, and he doesn't think Christ is saying that. Furthermore, this is not talking about the kind of punishment that goes on in the world, where a sentence is actually carried out. So that's one point. You know, Christ is talking here to his disciples. He's not talking about the kind of judgment that is meted out and the sentences that are meted out by like civil courts or other similar organizations. And then before the discussion is over, Todd, Luther adds one more point, and this may be his even bigger point that he has made already back in commenting on chapter 5. There is such a thing as legitimate judging, he says in this case, when it is based on an office or a commission from God, just like there is a legitimate place for the government to take human life in punishment for somebody, say, who has taken a human life, or there is a legitimate place to swear in court. When you have an office or a commission from God, then judging also is not only important, it becomes even necessary. But, Luther says, that's not the kind of thing that Christ is talking about here.
Where does the devil figure in for Luther on all of this?
Well, Luther's always thinking about the way the devil is working. And even if the devil is not named specifically in the text, Luther knows the devil's working behind the scenes. And the devil kind of feeds this desire on the part of, yes, even Christians, to be picky and critical. Luther says the devil gives each individual a very high estimate of himself and the opinion that his cause must be the best, while he criticizes and undermines whatever does not measure up to his standards. Now, Luther says we're, of course, used to this sort of thing in the world. In the world, the beautiful people, that's my term, not Luther's, they know that they're better looking than anybody else, and they look down their noses at other people. Learned people think they're smarter than anybody else, and they look down their noses. But Luther says, when this gets into Christ's kingdom, this kind of attitude becomes particularly poisonous. It becomes poisonous both for doctrine and for Christian living.
Let's talk about doctrine, because Luther says there's a kind of self-centered wisdom that even is done in the name of pure doctrine or even the gospel.
People pride themselves on how well they know the scriptures, how well they know the gospel, or how well they can articulate the gospel. Maybe I know the gospel 10 times as well as even my own teacher, Luther says. And that can be a very tempting thing. When somebody's in that cast of mind, they can go on to put just their own little spin on theological matters. Or just to make it that much clearer how they are so much better from somebody else, some run-of-the-mill teacher, they will maybe even misrepresent what others say. Now, that's a deadly combination. Luther says parties grow up from that kind of thing. Schisms and sects follow. This is one of the places, by the way, Todd, where Luther says, and he says it more than once in his writings, but he certainly says it here, wherever God builds a church, there the devil builds a chapel or a tabernacle next to it. And against all this kind of one-upmanship, Luther says that Christ is in effect telling us, let no one claim to be the master who knows something new or better, judging or condemning the others. Concentrate on what I command you to preach, not who is to do the preaching, and preserve harmony among yourselves.
So back to the little caveat that Luther had there about judging within one's vocation or within one's office. What about pastors?
Well, of course, pastors are to judge matters of doctrine and life and administer public rebukes. As a matter of fact, I might just add, if you look a little bit further, even Christians are supposed to do this. Chapter 7, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets. Well, you can't beware of a false prophet if you can't somehow conclude that somebody is a false prophet. And Luther says something like this. He says, whenever any Christian sees his neighbor doing wrong, he has the duty of admonishing and restraining him, which is impossible without judging and passing judgment. But all this is done on the basis of an office or commission.
Dr. Ken Cherub is our guest. It's part 54 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. Today, Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 on judging others. And on the other side of the break, we'll get into that metaphor that Jesus uses about a log in your own eye and a speck in your neighbor's eye. The Issues Etc. book of the month is called Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's basically a primer on Lutheran identity, dealing with the history, with the theology, with the particulars of Lutheran identity in terms of its theology, like the sacraments, things that make a lot of people don't think of sacraments when they think about something distinctively Lutheran, but it certainly is. You'll find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you one when you order Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we'll talk about Luther's words, what God forbids here is that everyone goes forward with his own ideas. What's Luther talking about? We'll answer that question after this.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden,
Egypt, France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Ken Cherub, walking through Luther's thoughts on the Sermon on the Mount, coming to Matthew chapter 7, the first five verses on judging others, and in a few minutes on Jesus' metaphor about the log in your own eye and the speck in your neighbor's eye. Ken, Luther says, what is forbidden here is that everyone goes forward with his own ideas. What's Luther saying there?
Well, the ultimate result of all this, if everybody's figuring, I'm just a little bit smarter than you are, Todd, or somebody else is a little bit smarter than I am, then we'll all be trying to figure out ways to demonstrate that, and we'll come up with a doctrine of our own. Luther says we imagine ourselves to be Mr. Smart Aleck, supposed to correct everybody else and criticize everybody else, even though I may not have a commission to do that. And so Luther says the alternative that Christ is putting before us, what is needed here, is the virtue called tolerance and the forgiveness of sins by which one person bears with another, pardons him, and forgives him.
What practical application does Luther see here?
Oh, he goes on really quite a bit about the practical import of this. He says, look, it's just going to be inevitable. Some preachers are going to have better gifts than others. Even if they're preaching exactly the same content, exactly the same doctrine, one preacher is just going to be a more talented preacher than another, or one may be more talented at teaching in a classroom, or one may be more talented at counseling. But that should not make anybody, any one of those people, or any of the people that they serve, feel that one is really superior to another. And he goes on to apply this same kind of thing to other aspects of Christian society. Luther says, peasants have their place in society, and princes are in a situation kind of above them. Yet, the hearts should have the same attitude and pay no attention to the dissimilarity.
Ken, Luther talks about our natural sinful ability to magnify the faults of others.
Yeah, and he says that Christians are certainly not immune to it. I mean, people in the world, and Christians too, can very easily ignore the good in others and focus on the least little pimple, that's how Luther puts it, that they see in others. They can overlook their own vices while failing to see anything good in anyone else. And that is what gives rise to this sinful judging that Christ is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount. Luther says, when I get into this kind of a cast of mind, I am ready to despise and condemn a man as soon as he stumbles a little or makes some other mistake.
So he has a proverb of his own. What is it?
Well, I think this is a proverb. The editor of the American edition of Luther's work says that this seems to be a proverb. No one sees what he is carrying on his own back, but the one following him sees it very well. And this is true not only in doctrine, but in life. You can always find something that is displeasing to you when you look at somebody else's life. So, once we have discharged our office, Luther says, whether it be public preaching or whether it be a private brother admonishing another brother as a Christian, Luther says we can learn from Christ's warning and get used to tolerating, concealing, and adorning our neighbor's transgressions. If I see in him something that does not please me very much, then I should pull back and take a look at myself.
He has a little caution regarding our pride, but he comes at it at a different angle. He says that pride not only kind of blinds us to the good in others, but it also, as he says, ruins the gifts that God has given us. What's he talking about?
Well, he's looking at this not only in the kind of horizontal terms of the second table of the law, he's already thinking about it in the vertical terms of the first table of the law. How does this affect my relationship to God? And what it does is takes and sort of hijacks these gifts that God has given me, and now I'm taking them and using them for a completely different purpose. Instead of using them to serve my neighbor, I'm using them as a sort of a mirror in which to admire myself. So I fail to thank God for his gifts, I rob him of his glory, and I make an idol of myself. Now, Luther says this ought not be. God did not give us these gifts so that we could despise our neighbors over them. And as he's fond of doing, he kind of talks like God would talk to us. God might say, you use my very gift to oppose me and against your neighbor, and to make yourself a tyrant, a jailer, and a judge against your neighbor, whom your love should prompt you to tolerate, to help, and to lift up when he falls. But, Luther told his hearers, if you insist on flattering yourself and despising others, you should know that while someone else may have a speck in his eye, as far as you are concerned, by comparison, you have a log in your eye as far as God is concerned. And that, of course, is the very terms that Jesus was speaking of in this passage from Matthew 7.
And Luther cites an example of this from his own experience.
Yeah, he says, think about what the Romanists are saying about us Lutherans. He says they're criticizing us for comparative specks. For example, when the Reformation had come to various territories and the monks had left the monasteries were going to just go to rack and ruin. They would be abandoned. Nobody would be taking care of them. The princes came in and took over the superintendency of those lands. And the Romanists would seize on that and say, ah, see, these Lutheran princes, they're just gobbling up all these holy sites, all these monasteries. Or he says, they criticize us for not fasting the way they want us to, or otherwise not having the kind of piety they want us to have. But at the same time, they're not noting the log in their own eye, their own persecution of the gospel, even the way they kill people over the gospel.
He talks about the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer in connection to that. Remind us, what is he talking about?
Well, I mean, he has to. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It was earlier in the Lord's Prayer. And Luther says, we're not free of sin. I'm not claiming, Luther says, that we Lutherans are free of sin. Nobody is. Daily do we need God's forgiveness, and then we forgive others. But with God's forgiveness, it can be amazing sometimes. You know, we talk about how difficult it can be to forgive somebody else. It can be amazing how easy it is to wrap up all the sins that people have committed against us and throw them into that fifth petition and say, they're gone. Christ has forgiven me, now I forgive, period.
And it's not just that we are judging others, it's that we want others to see our judgment as virtue. How does Luther describe that?
Well, that's how it is when you got that log in your own eye and you don't see your own problems and sins. You can even get to the point where you think that your hypercritical attitude toward others and your sinful judging of them is some kind of a virtue coming out of really fine Christian motivation. Luther kind of throws water on that fire. He says, passing judgment without God's command and then covering yourself in God's righteousness is downright demonic.
How does Luther conclude his thoughts here on these first five verses?
Well, he says, you know, we can speak out against injustices. There may, in fact, be a speck in your neighbor's eye, but Christ tells you, Luther says, how to remove it. And that starts with determining about the log you have in your own eye and taking that out first. And it may just be, Todd, Luther says, that you're going to have to look so hard at that huge log in your own eye when you finally kind of open your eyes and see it, that that's going to occupy you so much you will never get to that speck in your neighbor's eye. So Luther says, kind of in summary, you see, what Christ means to say as a summary of this teaching is that we should willingly practice forgiveness, patient forbearance, and humility in our relations with one another. That is what the situation would have to be like if we followed this teaching. Then everything in Christendom would move along correctly and harmoniously as it should.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thanks.
Always a pleasure, Todd. We'll talk to you next time.
Have you taken advantage of Concordia University's Wisconsin's waiver of its application fee for Issues, Etc. listeners? They'll waive your application fee when you enter the promo code Issues, I-S-S-U-E-S. Concordia University Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options for an associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree. Find out more by clicking the Concordia University Wisconsin online logo at issuesetc.org. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin, online. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Mark Ragnaris joins us. We'll talk about a new study reporting a relationship between same-sex marriage and the reduction in the attempts of teen suicide. And we'll talk about a BBC story about smartphones, social media, and Christianity with Pastor Hans Feeney.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We have 7 Arabic language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
يمكنك تنزيل النص لسبع حلقات من برنامج قضايا باللغة العربية مجاناً.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
تغطي تلك النصوص الأجزاء الستة الرئيسية من كتاب التعليم المسيحي لمارتن لوثر.
You can download and print these Arabic transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org, click publications.
وتشمل تعليماً عن لماذا تحدث المصائب؟ لتنزيل وطباعة النصوص العربية مجاناً، اذهب إلى issuesetc.org ثم انقر على publications.
Casting Christ Net on the internet, issuesetc.org.
نطرح شبكة المسيح على شبكة الإنترنت, issuesetc.org.